Web hosting for Lowdown Radio is provided by HostGator.com. Use the code LOWDOWNRADIO and receive $9.94 off your next hosting package. Eat up the competition at HostGator.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Heel Turn. This is episode number 6 of The Heel Turn. Today is Wednesday, February 2nd, 2011. And as always, I am joined by my wrestling partner in crime, Bobby Rogue. Bobby, I'm tagging you in. Welcome back to The Heel Turn.
And the Royal Rumble champion is Alberto Del Rio.
So talk to me about Alberto Del Rio. He has been in the WWE probably about 6 months now. And even before he came in the WWE, there was a what I would probably like to call a purposeful leak on the internet, supposedly from some WWE webmaster, that said something to the effect as, hey, when do you want Alberto Del Rio's page up online? I heard this guy is the next big deal or next big thing or whatever. 6 months in the WWE, another big Latino star, wins the Royal Rumble and is on his way to WrestleMania for a championship. What do you think about that?
I think it's awesome, man. I think a lot of people are looking at Latin American, South American wrestling superstars. They like the new hybrid style of lucha libre with the good old boy, you know, wrestling regional territory types of acting that they're doing. The guy can cut a promo, the guy can flat out wrestle, and he's a luchador. You know, it's like a triple hybrid right there. I think the guy's going to go go to big places. I think he's actually taken the JBL character and elevated it because it's got a little spicy flavor, if you know what I mean.
But what's your thoughts on, I mean, I'm all for pushing young talent and getting some new faces in there and up the ladder. But, you know, talk to me a little bit about what you think about this push of young talent before they're ready. I'm not saying Alberto Del Rio is not ready, but it goes back into this whole little formula where, you know, they were pushing guys like Drew McIntyre. Look what they did with Sheamus. You know, not so much The Miz, because I think The Miz kind of, you know, earned his stripes and earned his way up to the championship. Whether you agree with him having the championship or not, it's a different story. But to win the Rumble and to be going on to WrestleMania for a championship already in such a short amount of time for WWE, you think that's a good marketing strategy?
I think what ended up happening, because the internet is so, you know, in the end, because of the internet wrestling marks, is that Alberto Del Rio is a wrestler who, you know, has been wrestling, you know, for quite some time. So I think in the wrestling industry, people knew, even though he was signing with the WWE, you know, that he was somebody who had already paid his dues. For instance, I can compare him to Tajiri, who came in from Japan. Everybody knew that that guy was a bona fide star. You know, he was a mid-carder in the WWE, but he did very well. Or somebody like William Regal, you know, who was wrestling, you know, in the UK territories before he started wrestling for the American federations. You know, the guy was just always popular. So I think that Del Rio came in with that platform. And I think, especially right now with the PG product that the WWE likes to put out, you know, here you have a guy who plays this, you know, Latino Casanova a la Ric Flair, you know, comes out in his vehicle, you know, like JBL, even though I believe, you know, Del Rio's vehicle is nicer, you know, his ring attire, his aura in the ring, you know, you look at this guy and I see so many wrestlers, you know, he reminds me of Rick Martel when Rick Martel was doing the, you know, the arrogant wrestler, you know, routine, and he was spraying perfume in people's faces to win his matches, you know, and I think, you know, they also took a little piece of, you know, what's that guy's name? Kennedy.
Mr. You know? Kennedy, yeah.
And they elevated it and gave the guy his own ring announcer. But not just any ring announcer, a ring announcer who speaks Espanol. And I think it's kind of like a chuckle since, you know, traditionally in the World Wrestling Federation, you know, everybody always knew that the people went over, you know, through the Spanish announce table. So I think they just elevated the, you know, Spanish, the Spanish piece to it. And I thought it was pretty cool, and it added to the character that when Del Rio won the Royal Rumble, you know, it was the Spanish announcer who announced him winning the Rumble. It was right. Hilarious.
Right. But even, you know, the whole car thing and him coming in is very Eddie Guerrero-esque as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wonder if there's a, I wonder if there's a little bit of them paying homage to Eddie Guerrero.
I think they are, especially, you know, he always was coming out with that old school Bentley or that old school Rolls Royce, you know, but on Monday Night Raw, man, he pulled up in, you know, top of the line, $160,000 Mercedes Murcielago, I believe it's called. So they're elevating this guy. I'm not sure if they're taking him to the top, to the promised land, because if he loses at WrestleMania, then that just means you're going to end up in middle card hell for a long time.
Well, you know, the interesting part is, and I think I didn't get to see Raw this past week, but from what I've seen, he's challenging Edge for the world title.
Yeah, and he cleaned house and challenged Edge for the world title, and he laid on his signature move on Edge and left Edge helpless.
Right.
So,
but and that's the thing is
Edge is a story of two heels. Yeah.
Well, that and Edge is a vulnerable champion. I mean, he's lost before. He's got it back a whole bunch of times. So you really don't know how this is going to play out. You know, man, and I think if the WWE is committed to really pushing this guy, then Alberto Del Rio has to be the winner of that match.
Yep, and I'll tell you this, you're gonna know right away how big the WWE commitment is leading up to the road to WrestleMania, because when the big dance shows, I'm curious, and I don't think it's going to be Del Rio versus Edge. I think you might see a three-way or a four-way matchup in there eventually. I think it just all depends on how the next couple of weeks on Raw is going to look for ratings.
Right, right. So let's talk a little bit more about the Royal Rumble. So there was a lot of rumors going up into the Rumble about who was going to be in and who was going to be out. And all of a sudden, about a day or two before it, Twitter blew up about Booker T and Kevin Nash coming to the Rumble and re-signing with the WWE. I had personally tweeted directly to the WWE and told them to invest in the future, not in the past. Lo and behold, they go ahead and these guys come out to some of the biggest pops that we've seen in a long time for somebody.
I think one of the reasons they got some of the biggest pops was, number one, I tip of the cap to creative, because nobody and their grandma thought that Diesel was coming out.
Right.
And when you heard the and Diesel comes out and he puts the big hand up, you know, a la Giant.
Right.
Everybody went crazy. And I think everybody in that arena right now, I think you got kids, but you got a lot of people in their 30s, a lot of people who watched wrestling in the 80s and the 90s, and they saw a character that was kind of funny. So I kind of chuckled when I read it because I popped. I popped, and I was like, you know what, that's pretty cool. And I popped just like we all popped when Hogan came back during WrestleMania, when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame by the way we were both there physically watching that. And sure. We saw him take out that Middle Eastern wrestler who lost his job a week later. And everybody went crazy because, you know, Hollywood Hulk Hogan was gone. And everybody was like, all right, that's his character. And all of a sudden, you know, creative throws a spin at it. And, yeah, Kevin Nash did show up, but it was in the Diesel character. And everybody thought that was really cool. I think the other thing with Booker T is that I think people like Booker T, but I think people like Booker T's taglines or signature moves better because they're just hilarious. They're not exciting. They're hilarious to watch. He's a good showman. You know, when he does the spinneroonie, when he does the scissor kick, you know, when his eyes get wide and he starts to glow, you know, when he says, "What's up, sucker?" You know, those are all signature Booker T moves. And that's what they did. And I think that for creative to do that, I think that's very great. That's very good. And creative finally did their job. But I hope that it's an homage of saying to these older guys, hey, you know what? We let you leave with a bang, and yeah, you'll be part of the storylines, but I hope they're not main event status because they're way past their prime. I think Triple H said it best, that one day he looked around the locker room and realized that him and Shawn Michaels were the oldest guys there, and everybody else was either 2 years or less in the WWE.
Yeah,
well, and I think they should let them do their thing.
Well, yeah. They almost had to bring him back as Diesel to give him any kind of credibility, in my opinion, any credibility of a character. Because, you know, he was Kevin Nash in TNA. Yep. He wasn't anything else. He was just him.
Yep. And I'll tell you, man, I watched it. He looked good. He's in tremendous shape. He's muscular. He dyed all his gray hair. He was tan. he looked good. He doesn't look like he's 50, 52 years old. He looks awesome. You know, Booker T looks good. You know, he's in tremendous shape. So we'll see. You know, they were only signed for the Rumble. So we'll see if, you know, the rumor mill is correct is where they'll – if they do sign with the WWE, they should be signing in supportive roles. So I hope so. You know, I hope that that happens. I've never been a fan, you know, of Kevin Nash, you know, in the WWE. I loved him as Kevin Nash when he was NWO Outsiders, that kind of stuff. But after that, I didn't like him anymore. So that piqued my interest. I hope he does well. And I hope other, you know, older guys, you know, older guys that are on their way out, I hope the WWE starts to pay homage to them. You know, like, let's say Olive Sting, you know, the rumor mill. What do you think? You think Sting's going to the WWE?
Yeah, I do. I think he is. And I started to think back a little bit, and I couldn't remember, and maybe you can answer the question for me, is Sting has never been in the WWE, right?
Ever. He is the most famous wrestler to never have been in the WWE. And I think it's a good move for him because, number one, the WWE owns everything that WCW has, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I thought about it. Well, is he going to make a TV appearance? Remember, back in the old days, Sting would always say, I will never go to the WWE because I am a born-again Christian and I am so sick of the sexual theatrics the WWE has. Well, guess what? If you look at WCW that Sting was in and you look at WWE present day, it's the exact same product. Thus, it should be easy for Sting to sign. And if he doesn't sign with them in an on-screen capacity, I definitely think he's going to sign a merchandising deal because, you know, I'm sure the WWE wants to put out some Sting videos, some Sting dolls, some Sting t-shirts and buttons and all that other cool Stinger stuff. But I'll tell you this. I hate the Sting character. I love Surfer Sting when he was blonde.
Yeah.
I love that character. I hate the Crow character. I just never been a big fan of the Crow. What do you think with that about that?
You know, I have the same opinion as I never really dug the whole Crow character. But I don't know, unless you're a real true blue wrestling fan and you remember back in the day, I don't know if there's a lot of people that really remember that character anymore.
Well, here's the craziest thing. I was looking up Sting. So Sting debuted in 1989. I actually saw his match. It was a 45-minute match between him and Ric Flair at the very first Clash of the Champions on WTBS. That was 1989. In 1994, the Sting character died because that's when the NWO took place, and then he became the Crow.
Right.
So Sting has been the Crow from 1995 to present. So he has now eclipsed the Surfer gimmick. But I tell you, man, the Surfer gimmick sells, and that is the reason Sting became huge. I think they should go back to that gimmick, or I at least think that he should get out of the Sting, take a hybrid of both characters, but lose the trench and lose the mask and put some new face paint on, because I hate that Crow gimmick. I mean, it's a total ripoff.
Yeah, but to be honest, I don't think he's going to come in as anything but that Crow gimmick if he does it.
Yeah, and I hate the bat.
Right.
Points at people with the bat, and he doesn't say a word. I mean, I like the Stinger. Woo! Just like a la Ric Flair, man.
Yeah, and you know, but here's the thing: is WWE, and I hadn't even thought about the whole rights to all the footage and everything from WCW and all the old school stuff. And you know, they can make a killing on merchandising. And you put somebody like Sting together with John Cena. And that's just a coup d'etat right there. I mean, you know, their merchandising is going to go through the roof.
Yeah. And I think Sting coming back would make other wrestlers come back so we can fulfill some more dream matches. You know, I want to see Sting wrestle Shawn Michaels. I want to see Sting wrestle Triple H. I want to see Sting wrestle some young talent, you know, like people from the Hart Dynasty.
Right.
I want to see some of those cool matches. Sting versus Alberto Del Rio. Sting versus The Miz. Oh, my God. Two showmen in the ring. One young, one old. What more can you ask for?
Well, I mean, we won't see Sting and Shawn Michaels, but we would potentially see Sting in Triple H. I mean, that's something definitely doable.
Or Sting and The Miz.
Sting and The Miz would be really good, especially.
That would be fun TV.
You know, and I don't know much about how Sting is behind the scenes, and I don't know how good he is about putting young talent over. I'm assuming I haven't heard anything bad that he's not good at it, but You know, Sting the Undertaker. I mean, who would ever thought to see something like that?
You know, that was on the tip of my tongue. You know, the Crow versus the Dead Man, virtually then, you know, two dead men.
Right.
You know, and would Sting finally be the one to end a streak? Oh, you know how many pay-per-view buys that would garner? I would still want to see Undertaker win because I believe that that nowadays I only buy WrestleMania strictly for the fact because I want to see Undertaker win.
Right.
I think that's a huge buy rate in itself. Undertaker should never, ever, you know, lose a WrestleMania match. Let's go on to the Undertaker. Do you think Undertaker is going to make it in time for WrestleMania? And if so, who should he wrestle?
I don't know if he's going to make it back. From what I had heard, he was pretty hurt this last time. Yeah, and he's been out for a while. If he does make it back, who does he wrestle? That's a great question. There's a couple ways to look at it, right? So you can look at it from the standpoint as he's earned the right to never have the streak go away.
Yep.
Or you can look at it from the old school mentality that as you're on your way out, you drop the belt, right? I mean, now, granted, he doesn't have a belt, but you got to fall to the next guy, you know, at some point. So and in this case, instead of it being a belt, it's the streak, you know. So does he drop the streak to somebody? Maybe. Who's deserving of that? I mean, I think there's a couple of people that are deserving of that. I think The Miz is deserving of it. As I'm thinking through it, I think The Miz is the only one that I think would be, as if you're passionate, kind of a passing of a torch kind of thing, it would be him. Maybe Randy Orton. I don't know. Maybe Randy Orton. I mean, a lot of people would say maybe John Cena. I think Randy Orton, John Cena is a little bit too far gone. I think for something like that, it would have to be somebody younger like The Miz.
All right. Let's talk about some more old school wrestlers. Let's talk about Stone Cold Steve Austin. It looks to be that he will be the host of the newly resurrected Tough Enough reality show. Wrestler trying to win a contract into the WWE.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that's just marketing. I mean, the fact that he's coming back is a big name coming back. And he's going to have a couple of different markets that he's bringing with him. Not only is he bringing a wrestling market that everyone, you know, is going to want to see him back, but he's also could potentially be bringing more of a Hollywood type market because he is an actor now.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, when you got guys like, well, you know, The Miz was a tough enough guy, right? And John Morrison was a tough enough guy.
The Miz is the first tough enough world champ.
Right. So if these guys do it right.
And he didn't even win tough enough.
so when you're talking in regards to tough enough today in today's world, and you think about all the social media and how engaging the WWE has been social media, WWE is winning awards right now for their social media outreach and their web presence and all of this stuff. If they do it right and they get the marketing social media machine behind them, tough enough could get big. Tough enough could get really big.
WWE is so strong in their social media and it's so popular that they actually shut down social media sites. WWE Universe has been shut down because Facebook overtook it. Because their Facebook page overtook it. That's amazing.
Right. Right. So
they're just really good. I mean, they still rule the pay-per-view world.
Yeah. So and I think that show has a really good chance of getting bigger than it is. Which network is it coming on?
You know, I'm not sure yet. At first I heard that they were thinking about, you know, internet. But, I mean, they have contracts with, you know, essentially it's NBC. So they can go on a good network. You know, they can find a home on Sci-Fi or something, you know. So there is room for, you know, the WWE to find that show. I hope they do get a piece of that show. So good luck to that. Let's talk about some other old schoolers. Do you think Mr. Brock Lesnar might come back from the UFC into the WWE?
Well, you know, that was a big rumor a few months ago on whether or not he was coming, and there was talk on both sides, kind of shots fired between the WWE and the Dana White from UFC. Dana White basically said he's, as long as he's under contract, he's not going to be able to do anything else.
Yeah.
Maybe. Do I care? Not really. I mean, that's just a hype machine because he's, you know, you're drawing in an MMA crowd, which of course is perfect to, you know, as far as wrestling is concerned, very similar crowds, I guess. I don't care, to be honest. I don't. I could care less whether Brock Lesnar comes back or not. I don't think that he was. I mean, he was all right, but he wasn't. He wasn't anything that I cared about when he was, you know, big time in the WWE.
All right. Let's talk about Latin America again. Reportedly, the WWE has signed Latin America's biggest wrestling draw, Místico. I've watched Místico wrestler. He is an awesome luchador. He is pretty much the Shawn Michaels, the Hulk Hogan of Latin America, and the WWE has him. Do you think they're going to Goldberg him and bury him, or do you think Místico is going to fly? Because if they bring him on, I can see a feud between him and Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, and that's definitely a feud in the making. I think it's going to depend on how they decide to use him, of course. I mean, you know, look at all these big stars that they signed over, and like you said, the Goldberg. You know, Goldberg was a perfect example. Scott Steiner. And basically all those guys that came over, all the big guys that came over from WCW, they just basically buried. I hope they don't do that to this guy. I think if they're smart, they're going to keep playing the Latin American card and reach back into that audience. And now they're pulling in a big, you know, Mexican, you know, really Latin American audience, which is not, you know, something they didn't really have. You know, even Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio and all those guys, yeah, they were big time and good, but they weren't big in Mexico. You know what I mean? I mean, they were, but not like these guys are. You know,
they were they were big in Texas and in the Florida territories.
Yeah, not actual proper, you know, Latin American countries. And now you're bringing in stars that are big in these countries. I hope they do well by this guy. And I hope they don't bury him.
All right, cool. Let's talk about some women. You know, the WWE Divas, they've always known for being hot, but now Awesome Kong has signed.
Yeah.
You know, I really popped when I heard about that because I love to see some big chick pound on some divas.
You know, here's the thing, though. They're taking a – if they do it right, which they probably won't, but if they do it right, they're taking potentially evolve their women's division, which is something they really needed to do. You know, they brought back Gail Kim. They did nothing with her. It seemed like they were doing more with Melina and Beth Phoenix and even Natalya, and it just didn't work. Now they're going a completely different direction. They're bringing in a woman that isn't really a diva in the general sense of the WWE world. You got an opportunity here, or they have an opportunity here, to evolve the division into something really good and really credible, which I think they deserve. But I got a feeling it's not going to go the way they expected it to. I'm pretty sure when Gail Kim came back, she thought it was going to be different. Same thing with Christian, you know, even though it's out of the women's division. But like, Christian was a huge star in TNA. Gail Kim, huge star in TNA. They bring him back and they do nothing with him.
Yep, exactly. I'm crossing my fingers that there was a time, I don't know if you remember, when Chyna was running angles where she was beating guys, and I think she even held one of the men's titles, and I really enjoyed that. So I hope that, you know, Awesome Kong, you know, gets into the mix of things, and like you said, just really evolves, you know, what this division is. Because when I look at the divas from today, you know, yeah, there are a bunch of divas, but they are actually better wrestlers than the divas of yesterday.
Right.
Because the divas of yesterday, they had Trish Stratus, and then they had Mickie James, and then they had Melina, and that's about it. Everybody else was kind of just like a supporting cast.
Right.
But when I look at these wrestlers, like, these girls can flat out wrestle. I mean, Fit Finley did a fabulous job of training a bunch of divas, and they look good, you know. I would love to see like a 2-on-1 match, Awesome Kong take out the Bea Twins to start it off.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I hope they do something, just like I hope, you know, eventually they'll do something with their tag team division. Just like I hope they do something with their mid carders. Like, you know, we've talked about many times on this show. It'll just depend on how bad they screw it up.
So, Road to WrestleMania, obviously, We're hoping that The Undertaker wrestles. Any other dream matches that you're thinking about?
Oh, man, that's a good question for this year.
Nexus versus Nexus?
You know, and the thing with the whole Nexus, and I started thinking about this the other day a little bit, is Nexus was, as a concept, was so good. where they think they screwed it up is they didn't really have a counter stable going against them. They had John Cena. And I think if they would have had another stable going at them, they could have been milking that even to this day. I think Mexus has lost its lord, and it's. I mean, I know a lot of the reasons I used to tune in was just to watch those. I wanted them to get beat, and that was good storytelling. The fact that they kept wanting me to watch, the fact that they made me want to watch them so they get beat, but they didn't have anything. It was everything always John Cena. You know what I mean? And not that I don't like John Cena. It's just you need a stable. You need something like the Four Horsemen or something to that effect. To fight the Nexus. Now, if you notice who Kevin Nash and Booker T and all those guys from what I've read, who they went after in the Rumble was the Nexus guys. So that is that something in the making? Potentially. But yeah, I mean, they definitely needed another stable to counter those guys.
Okay. Let's talk Money in the Bank. You and I actually witnessed the first Money in the Bank ever in the history of the WWE. And now it seems that every single year they have it. And I think they even wasn't there a pay-per-view just surrounding
the Money in the Bank pay-per-view?
Yeah, so I mean, do you like the Money in the Bank at WrestleMania? I like the first one. I never liked the ones that followed it up.
I do. I like the concept. I don't think it needs to be its own pay-per-view. I just wish they would do a little bit more with it. Yeah, I mean, I think they could still do a lot with that whole concept, but you know, I think the last few years it hasn't been as good as they had hoped.
All right. So I'm going to say that my WrestleMania dream match, I don't know if it would happen, but I'd like to see Captain Charisma, you know, take on somebody like Jericho. Something, you know, where, you know, at least he gets an elevated push. I don't think it's going to happen, but at least I'm dreaming for it.
You know, and it's funny that I didn't even thought about Chris Jericho. So I think if anybody, I said The Miz and The Undertaker. I think another deserving person taking down the streak would be Jericho. I'd have to go back and say that. And even though he's older, and he's even an older, kind of a little bit older than John Cena or like a Randy Orton, he's definitely deserving of that distinction if he gets it.
That's true. That is very, very true. So I always think about and dream about what would I love to see in wrestling. And, man, I'm itching for a Four Horsemen return. That is my dream. What is your dream, Carlos?
Four Horsemen return. You mean the Four Horsemen as they used to be or like a new stable of the Four Horsemen?
I would love, like, for Ric Flair to come out at the end of a Raw where, like, the Nexus has beat everybody down and then everybody pop big time that Ric Flair comes out. But he comes out with four people on stage and then they do the Four Horsemen sign with their hands and they run into the ring and take Nexus out. I would love to see a storyline like that.
And that'd be good. That'd be a good way to kind of introduce a new faction. I think that'd be pretty awesome to do something like that. What do I want to see return? Oh man, I think if anything, I just want a good tag team division, man. I want the tag teams of yesteryear. I want the Road Warriors. I want the Midnight Express. I want, you know, that kind of stuff. You know,
the Chicago Street Fights, the scaffold matches, yeah. War games. Come on, well,
actually,
man.
I mean, man, there's a lot if of they brought stuff. Back War Games, that'd be pretty damn cool, man. War Games would be good.
War Games was awesome.
Yeah, War games would be really good.
I think I'm going to Netflix and see if I can get War Games.
Sure you can.
Even if I just watch a couple of clips.
I'm sure you just go on YouTube and just search War Games, WCCW, man. You'll find it.
Yep. You know, there is one thing that WWE has always been constant with, and I got to give an ode to the WWF, WWE, because everywhere you look, every year, at least there's a midget. So thank you, Hornswoggle, because he is one of the most entertaining midgets that I've seen in a while.
You know, and I would say if aside from a tag team, if I can say that I wish they would push somebody differently, I think, oh man, his name just escaped me. The funny Italian guy.
Oh, you mean the last man standing before he got eliminated by Alberto Del Rio? Mr. Italia, the Cobra.
That guy. Yeah, dude. I wish they would actually let...
He is a good character.
Keep the funny guy, because he's one of the most entertaining guys out there, man. Keep the funny guy personality, but let him be a winner. You know what I mean?
I like the fact that he's tag team partners with Kozlov, but I think him and Eugene would be better tag team partners.
But you know, the thing is that, you know, he's still a jobber. You know, at the end of the day, when you get past all the funny stuff, there he's jobbing for people. And
here's something funny. He is actually probably the best technical wrestler on the entire roster right now.
So let start pushing that. Let him start winning, you know, these championships. Push this guy. Because he's good. He's good on the mic, you know. And him and Miz, I don't know if him and Miz have ever gone at it on the mic, but man, how funny that would be.
Yeah, that would be really cool. And that's what sucks sometimes, that sometimes you have guys on the roster that would actually be good on the mic, and they don't put them on the mic, you know. Like, I thought it was a travesty when they told John Cena to stop doing his raps where he would insult people. That was good mic time. We don't have the mic time of the 80s. Back in the 80s, everybody, before you even got signed, had to be outstanding on the microphone. Right. Everybody was good on the microphone. Nowadays, if you suck on a microphone, you have a manager.
Right. Yeah, no.
Santino Marella.
Yeah, Santino, that's his name. I couldn't remember his name. But yeah, I wish...
He's got a great name, too.
I wish they would at least give him a legitimate push and see what he can do. He definitely deserves it, man, because he's so funny. I watch Raw just to watch him, because he's just hilarious.
Yep. Well, the rumor mill's telling us that the road to WrestleMania, you know, looks like it's going to be Cena versus Miz for the title, Del Rio, Edge for heavyweight. You know, rumors that Undertaker's going to take on Wade Barrett, Randy Orton versus CM Punk, you know, The Core versus Nexus, and Triple H versus Sheamus.
Who's The Core?
The Core is Nexus Part 2. You know, so.
Oh, right.
So that's what it is. And, you know, and I'm sure somewhere in there they'll throw in a Jerry Lawler, Michael Cole thing. So, you know, besides The Undertaker coming back, I'm not too excited for WrestleMania this year. I want to watch Alberto Del Rio. So my WrestleMania dream, bring back the Four Horsemen. You know, or Jesus Christ, just announced a, you know, undercover Raw GM.
Oh, true. You know, and that could be something too that they do. And there's so many different directions they can go with that character. So that'd be good. That'd be good if they finally revealed who that is.
Totally. Hey, the Stinger can be the Raw GM. That would be good.
Ooh, that's good, man.
That would be a good one.
That's good.
WWE send the royalties my way, because I haven't seen that on the internet anywhere. I think I came up with that on my own.
That's pretty good. Pretty darn good.
Hopefully it's not Justin Bieber. and seriously, I might have to reconsider recording WWE Raw if somehow Bieber makes an appearance. That is ridiculous.
As long as he gets beat down, then it's worth it.
That would be good. Like to Kane, you know, like a la Pete Rose.
Oh, yeah.
That would be cool. Let's talk Hall of Fame. Should Shawn Michaels be in the Hall of Fame? I say hell no.
I say it's too soon. And that's the thing. I mean, I don't understand their criteria for Hall of Fame stuff, because some of these guys have not been out, in my opinion, long enough to be considered for the Hall of Fame. But and to me, that just kills the credibility of what the Hall of Fame is. And it's too soon. Way too soon.
They should follow professional sports. Like, at a minimum, you have to be out 5 years before you even get considered.
Yeah, but the thing is Hall of Fame for them is just marketing, and that's the problem.
You're right. You know, the good thing is the Hall of Fame sucks, and I was able to witness it with my good friend Carlos, actually the one that didn't suck, when Sylvester Stallone inducted Hulk Hogan, and that place was electric the entire time.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was a pretty cool time.
It reeked of coolness. It was awesome. That's all I got. You got anything, buddy?
No, man, I'm good. The Heel Turn is a production of LowdownRadio.com. If you'd like to learn more about all of our shows, please visit our website at LowdownRadio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/LowdownRadio. Bobby, give me your best wrestling line.
I was Bobby before Bobby Rogue was a catchphrase.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to The Hill Turn, and we will check you out soon.
This has been a Lowdown Radio production. To listen to all of our shows, please visit our website at lowdownradio.com.